Are you ready, kids? Get your parents' permission, check your mailbox, and grab your shopping cart. It's time for the Adventures in Collecting podcast.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome to Adventures in collecting,
where we talk toy news, culture, and hauls,
along with our journeys as collectors.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Adventures in Collecting. We're back.
Hello. Yes, we're back. You just missed me yawning.
Well,
I was about to yawn into the microphone, and I didn't. So I guess that's just as good as actually doing it.
Yeah.
Describing it.
This is, you make for great radio, Dave. This is fantastic radio.
On today's episode.
So on today's episode, Dave, we are going to do our news and hauls. And then we're going to play a round of Name That Toy. And then to close it on out, Dave, we're gonna introduce a new segment called "Wouldn't It Be Cool If?" And we'll get a little bit into that towards the end of the show. But before I stump you in Name That Toy, because I think I've got you this time, and it's my turn.
I'm up 4-2, right?
Yeah, I've had a rough go, but I think
all that means is I've gotten you once.
Yeah, but I think I'm gonna get you this week. But we'll see. We'll see when we. See when we get to it. So let's start it off with a little bit of the good old toy news. I think first and foremost, the thing that we have to mention before anything else in the world of toy news is Toy Fair. So New York Toy Fair, which was originally supposed to be in February, and then due to the ongoing global pandemic, was moved to May. Has been officially canceled for 2021, which is a big bummer. I mean, it's the obvious and safest choice for sure.
It's not surprising, but it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, considering that right now the Javits Center, which would normally house Toy Fair, is a, I believe they're administering COVID vaccines there. So yeah, definitely not going to be the place where Toy Fair is held, and it's really the only place in New York with the capacity to do the show justice. So back bigger and better in 2022, hopefully, and we'll be moving right along with the good old Toy Fair and seeing familiar faces and doing that craziness all over again.
Yeah, meeting people in person for the first time.
Yeah, it's wild to think that we're coming up on like the anniversary of us wandering the halls of Toy Fair in 2020.
Yeah.
This is wild. Absolutely wild. Some of the cool news that's been going around, McFarlane continues the ever growing steady wave of new toys. For a company that I don't want to say has been in obscurity in the past few years, because they've been producing toys, but not like this. I mean, they're just, it seems like every week they're keeping up with the Hasbros and Mattels and Spin Masters of the world, and they're just announcing new wave after new wave.
I would say they've been a bit more prolific as they were in the past.
Yes, that is definitely the fair way to put it. But they just announced today their wave two of the Gold Label collection. We've got a new Spawn, if you're familiar with the way that he looks in Mortal Kombat 11, or if you're playing Mortal Kombat 11, it is simply just another one of the skins that's offered in the game. Then there is an all-gold Dark Knight's Metal, like Batman Flash, like evil Batman Flash.
I thought that was Flashpoint, not Metal.
No, I think that's the I don't think it's Reverse Flash. I think it's that Dark Knight's Metal Flash, Red Death, I think it's called.
Metal?
Yep.
Okay.
But it's all gold. And then there's a red and gold Warhammer figure that was announced as part of that wave too. Just fully embracing the good old tactic of painting your figures gold or highlighting them in gold. Because the Red Fury one, or I keep saying Red Fury, Red Death, that one is all gold, right? It's an all gold variant of the figure.
Yeah, it's just outright gold. I think the insignia is like a lighter, I don't want to say silver, maybe a lighter gold.
Just some gold on gold action.
Or yeah, there's some sort of like different finish to it.
I mean, it's one of those things where once you see, I have yet to see one in person. I'm only going off of the pictures and the memories of seeing that old, like, Wave 1 clown figure that was all gold. I mean, it is kind of a, it's a piece. It's a piece for the collection in terms of, like, actual action figure use. I don't know, you know. I know what some people did with that bronze Joker that came out, the bronze Arkham Joker. They actually posed it to make it look like in like a dio, made it like a statue of the Joker.
It looks like Red Death has some silver accents or highlights to him, like the insignia is silver, the face mask and some of the leg accents. As far as I can tell from the photos.
Yeah. They're all sharp paint jobs. The team over at McFarlane Toys, they always do a great job with those. You know, whether or not it's your thing is the question of the day, but I know for a fact that those Spawn figures, they can't keep them in stock anywhere regardless of paint variation or weapon variation or whatever they end up coming with. It has been difficult to keep those in stock.
Yeah, the spawn looks cool.
Yeah, Dave, how about some do we have any wrestling news, anything new in the wrestling world that we can talk about?
Well, ringside exclusive Ultimate Warrior from WrestleMania 12 was delayed till March, I believe.
Oh,
which is fine, you know, rather, you know, take the time to see it, do whatever they need to do for it as opposed to rushing it out, so that's fine.
Yep. Rather see it done the right way, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it, as far as I can still tell, it's still up for pre-order, no back order yet. And then the other news was just as sure as we saw photos, we eventually, you know, got AEW Unrivaled 3.
Yeah, Jeremy was not messing
they
around.
Kind of came out. They were. Like all of a sudden, they were up for pre-order, and then there they were. They were shipping. So that was pretty cool that there was that quick turnaround for them.
Yeah, well, I mean, right? That was one of the things that Jeremy said. He said that alongside Wave 2, Wave 3 would be on its heels. And for us, I mean, you got Wave 3 before you got Wave 2.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that in halls.
Spend
some time talking about them, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I think, wasn't there, I'm trying to find, I'm scrolling through our Instagram feed here, because I thought there was something else. Oh, Super 7, Dave, had some wrestling figure news.
Oh, yeah. As you've recently seen them on Impact Wrestling and on AEW, Big LG, Doc Gallows, and Carl Anderson are the latest Super 7 Ultimates for wrestling, which is cool, because it's been a little bit since there's been a Gallows and Anderson Elite. I think they made Elites when they first arrived, and then there hadn't been any. So it was good to see them get a new figure. Of course, these are based off of the their current incarnation in Impact / AEW. Spoiler alert if you did not watch last week's AEW. And yeah, it's there. They look great, as do all the Ultimates thus far. Cool, some cool, I'll say tooling for Gallows' beard.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And of course, they come with beers as they are in their talk and shop personas. And yeah, those are going to be cool. So those are up for pre-order till mid-February, I believe.
Also, coming soon.
And I will be pre-ordering those.
I thought you did it already. You're holding out?
Yeah, I mean, I'm waiting for the next credit card cycle.
Gotcha. Yeah, hey, you know, that's what it's about. But you know what? That's the thing that's awesome about the Super 7 pre-orders, right? And I'm going to use this to segue into another piece of toy news that I feel like we need to address because it's recently has bitten both of us. But the idea that you can post a pre-order and it's kind of like more of a made-to-order service. So you have an X amount of time to pre-order the thing before it's like crowdfunding, but without the consequence of not enough people buying it, right? So as long as you pre-order it before a date, you're guaranteed one, which is awesome. Like, I wish it was like that way for more toys instead of...
Well, that's... Yeah, and I think, Matt and Brian on the Major Pod said it best. The pre-order is the order.
Yes. Yes. Whereas something that we've experienced recently and, unfortunate as it is, like we don't have a Toys R Us or a KB Toys. You know, this is kind of the dead horse, you know, the stop it, he's already dead. But unfortunately, ordering through some of these big box stores, you have problems. So whether it's, wrestling figures that you've pre-ordered and have had canceled on you through Target and Walmart, right? You lost all of the Decade of Domination Wave 2 guys for the exception of...
Kofi.
With the inability to pre-order them.
Or purchase them at all. They've not even shown up, I don't think.
Yeah.
Nor do I think they've shown up in stores yet, either. So, at least some people that pre-ordered got them before they've been in stores?
Yeah.
Question mark?
And then, I'm experiencing some... a hassle with some Star Wars figures. So I had the Vintage Collection Din Djarin and Grogu 2-pack, the little like deluxe Vintage Collection 2-pack. It is the only way that you can get Din with the removable helmet, to show the Pedro Pascal likeness. And it is actually the first appearance, the first release of Grogu or the child as it's still billed on the card in the Vintage Collection, is a store exclusive at Walmart. I've had it pre-ordered since October, and then yesterday, so we're recording this on the 12th, so on the 11th, a massive tidal wave of cancellation emails went out to people who had this thing pre-ordered, only to, with no announcement, reactivate the listing today, on the 12th, this morning, in stock and shipping. So had it not been for, frankly, people like us and, other members of the community who sat there and kind of near obsessively refreshed the page, hoping for, a miracle, there was no notification from anybody that the figure had come back in stock that was available. I ordered mine, and I ordered it, and it actually shipped, producing a tracking number in about 20 minutes after I ordered it. So, in stock, ready to go after they canceled what I can only imagine is thousands of orders of it. At least hundreds, but more likely thousands, based on the amount of reports that were coming in. On Target, I have the Vintage Collection Armorer. I've had her pre-ordered for months, and I just keep hitting that button to, accept the, the delay, accept the new shipping date, and I don't know if it's ever going to ship.
I mean, I had to do that with the one Grogu Baby Yoda, the child pop, and it eventually shipped.
Well, that's good that it eventually did.
There was the issue with the Legends where that happened. And then it happened again for the next series. If you didn't find Decade of Domination Series 1, I'd probably still be waiting on those, potentially.
Yeah.
I think it's a unfortunate it-is-what-it-is type of situation. It's also one of those things where you just wish you'd hear about them showing up in a store. So that way it's like, okay, I can just go get it. It is the life we choose.
That's for sure. I mean, it definitely feels like a first world problem to be complaining about our toy pre-orders. But it is frustrating. And, hopefully there's the situation improves, I would like to see companies embrace more of Super 7's model, you know, with pre-ordering. Hasbro's actually doing it right now with their Gigawatt Transformer and DeLorean mashup figure. It's currently available on Hasbro Pulse to pre-order. They're basically leaving up the pre-order until February 15th, which is about a month from now. You have until then to pre-order it, and once that's over, that's it. And they'll ship it to you, looks like in August, they're expecting it to ship. But I really think for some of these more sought-after things, it's the way to go. You know, especially for characters and wrestlers that are considered to be like lead or primary characters, if you have to rely on something like a store exclusive, you know, make it at least so that it's a pre-order, you know, kind of made to order situation, and you know, the amount of orders that you accept, like, sure, people have to wait a bit, little bit longer to get it, because it's not one of those things where it's like the toy's already been manufactured, you know, you're pre-ordering it knowing that you've made X amount. You know, people will be happy, I think, to wait a little bit longer to get the product if they know that they're definitely going to get it.
Like, I mean, I feel like that's kind of what you see with like ringside exclusives in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean,
so they come back in.
That's a partner that understands, though, like you can tell that Ringside Collectibles is, I mean, it's in their name. They're a company that understands what their audience really wants. I think it's still difficult to get a company like Target or Walmart, who are starting to, you know, baby steps, starting to embrace like the collector community more, you know, by having, you know, splash landing pages on their websites and building new sections in their stores and things like that. But at the end of the day, like, they're also selling furniture and groceries and housewares and, you know, garden tools. And I mean, they're a big box store. They're a large retail location. They don't have the intensity or probably even the bandwidth to dedicate the resources to making sure that they are serving what is ultimately a very niche community in the way that we expect to be treated. And it's one of those things that you have to kind of consciously think about with this. And until we get another dedicated toy retailer back in the United States, I think, you know, we just kind of have to make the best of what we can. And I know that's not the answer that a lot of people want to hear. And, you know, a lot of people are, you know, beating the proverbial dead horse, you know, on the topic, but I don't see it changing anytime soon.
Yeah. I mean, not to mention you have those, you know, when you find something, it's like extra fun. Like, I almost fell over when I found Lightning from Big Trouble in Little China, the best action in the store. Like, it's the first and only time I've seen one.
Yeah.
One.
Singular one. Well, that's like we'll talk about it in Halls too, but the new Marvel Legends, the Spider-Verse from Marvel Legends, you know, actually seeing, you know, Spider-Gwen on the pegs, you know, and I had Maddie with me too. Like, we were both like, oh, like audible gasps that we saw her. So, yeah. I have one more piece of news that I wanted to briefly touch on, just because it is such a hot commodity right now. The NECA Ninja Turtles. They have more figures officially coming to the animated Ninja Turtles collection. They announced today for Turtle Tuesday, Rat King and Vernon will be in a two pack, and Vernon comes with the rat head, which is awesome. And then earlier this week, they announced solicits came out for Mondo Gecko, Chrome Dome, which looks amazing, Muckman, another just toyetic as anything figure, and then Genghis and Rasputin the Frogs are coming in a two-pack. So there are a lot more of those iconic characters coming to that animated series line. And while it's not something that either of us collect, we both know a lot of people who do collect them. They're gorgeous figures. Like they really do recreate the animated series faithfully.
I've heard nothing but good things about the NECA Turtles, and little I've seen, just because that is a deep dive I choose not to partake in. even though I had a lot of the Playmates Turtles when I was younger.
Well, between what Playmates is doing with the Turtles, and again, we'll get to that in Hawes, but between what Playmates continues to do with the Turtles, what NECA's doing with both the animated and the film Turtles, and then what Super 7 is doing with their like Playmates recreations in the ultimate form, it is a great time to be a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle collector. All right, so why don't you kick us off with Halls? What are some of the things? It's been a while since we've had a regular episode, so why don't you hit us with some highlights? What have you picked up?
What did I get? Well, I got.
What about the Royal Rumble? Did you get any of the Royal Rumble guys?
I got Stone Cold. I found one. I found, or actually on Amazon, I picked up the Street Profits. So Angela Dawkins and Montez Ford, Bianca Belair.
I love that Bianca Belair figure.
Oh yeah, it's a great figure.
They did a great job with it. The big sunglasses and the braid.
And she can hold it like it's cool. I got Stunning Steve Austin, and Mae Young from Ringside.
I love that there's finally a Mae Young figure.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. Definitely long overdue. She comes with the Mae Young Classic Trophy, which was named in her honor. So that's pretty cool, too. Who else did I get? I'm going to wind up forgetting stuff.
Well, why don't you just go into the good old AEW?
Okay, yeah, we could talk about Series 3. So I got AEW Series 3, the Unrivaled Series 3 set from Ringside. So far, none of the chases have been found, or at least publicly found.
Yeah, not that I've seen.
They're either on their way, or they're out there, or most likely they're on their way. It's a good series. I think there have been people who have been... there's been a lot of critique of these online, both positive and negative. It's gone both ways. And you know, when we posted the opening of the box, it was just really more to open the box and show you what was there and see if there were Ringside did put in any chases or rares, which they've had a tendency to do lately. You know, just to kind of get an initial first impression of them. After looking at them and after seeing other unboxings and seeing what other people thought, I think there's been a lot of common threads or common critiques of them. I think the Young Bucks in the typical Young Bucks gear is great. Was it a bit early for more Young Bucks figures? Maybe. But now you have like your regular Young Bucks in what their standard gear is, as opposed to the Elvis gear for the one time for Double or Nothing. Nick is really good. I think Nick looks just like Nick. Matt, it's something about his face, and I'm not sure what it is.
I think Matt Cardona mentioned it on his quick take on them from the major pod. He said he looked tired.
Yeah, like there's too much of dark circles under his eyes.
And I think that's accurate. I think he does look... It definitely looks like him. Like, I don't think that the likeness is off. I just think that he looks tired. I think that's a fair assessment.
Is potentially a tad off on that.
But I love how expressive they made them. Like, they look...
Yeah, it's different. It's different head sculpts. It's brand new head sculpts.
Yep.
So, you know, we're also looking at, yes, Jazzwares is a big company, but this is only Series 3. Like, there's going to be some bump before as they work on it and try to get it perfect.
And they've been vocal, too, about stuff that's been outside of necessarily their control. There's been factory issues. Obviously, getting things out during a pandemic is, you know, presents a challenge. And they're not as big. Like, yes, Jazzverse has been around for a while, but they're not as big as a Mattel or a Hasbro. And even those companies are struggling right now
Mattel,
to meet
sometimes
demand.
Sometimes the Mattels are a little not great.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I sent you that picture that one Eddie Guerrero I found that his face was printed about an inch to the left,
yeah,
of where it should have been. You know, it happens, and I think ultimately from the pictures that you sent, I think they look better than the samples that were photographed.
I think the only one that's really like off is Pac.
Yeah, you said, who did you say he looked like? And I actually laughed out loud.
I thought he looked like Canyon a little bit.
Yes, Canyon. I think you're right, though. I think that one, I mean,
it's a little off.
The likeness is a little off.
A little off.
The one I was worried about from all of the initial pictures was Riho.
And Riho looks way better than in the initial photo. To the point where it actually kind of looks like Riho.
Yeah. But
Riho was definitely the pleasant surprise. But the two, and I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, like, these are going to be tough to beat. And are, you know, I'm going to do something different this year than what I did last year, which was I tried to figure it out at the end of the year. But I'm just going to put things on the list as I kind of see them. Two potential figure of the year candidates.
Really? Tell us what it, because I haven't seen these yet in person. This is all you. What impressed you so much about Freshly Squeezed?
So the hands go in the pockets. It works. From everything I see, and I still haven't opened mine yet, but I will once Series 2 comes, which we'll talk about that too later. Or we'll talk about that next time, because I should be getting it tomorrow. Those shipped from Ringside. But Orange has, so they did something cool with the t-shirt where the t-shirt is velcroed to the coat, so it's one piece. Or as he sometimes wears the denim jacket without the shirt, you can also have him wear the denim jacket without the shirt. He comes with the lazy thumbs up, he comes with the hands that go in the pockets, the sunglasses fit like it looks just like him. Everything about the figure is just stuff you've never seen before.
Yeah, Magic really outdid himself on the design of this, for sure.
And I mean, you can go back to Jeremy on Twitter going like, hey, how do we make this happen? Figure it out. We need to figure this out.
And
they did.
And they're not cloth good pants, right? They're like
No, they're like rubber.
Yeah. So good.
Mm-hmm. And then Darby just looks fantastic.
Yeah, that's the one so far, the one where I think the chase is the for, like, without a doubt, the more attractive of the two versions. So, like, all the other ones,
where he's got the body paint?
Yeah. So, like, all the other ones, like, all the other chases are cool. So, like,
he doesn't, he doesn't always do that, though.
I know.
It's like Finn Balor. He doesn't always do that. So the regular one is like regular everyday Darby.
Yeah.
And he comes with the skateboard, which is awesome.
And the skateboard works too, which is sweet.
Yeah. It's like a regular little fingerboard.
Yeah, like a tech deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with what you had sent me. I can't wait until we can actually be in person so that I can see those.
Yeah, and it's something where I have no reason to doubt that they're going to get, you know, improve these or continue to improve these as time goes on. Are there still, like, you know, points of improvement that can be made? Sure. But that's just going to be the case anyway.
But I mean, that's any figure, right? That's it, like, literally pick your favorite figure. My favorite figure from 2020, the Storm Collectible Injustice Bane. I went on to wax poetically about how I thought it was a perfect figure, but if I look at it, there are things about it I would you know, potentially change and improve, for sure. I mean, it's an action figure. There's always going to be something. And whether it's limited by, something artistic or limited by something manufacturing or available materials or cost prohibitive, whatever it is, we could sit here all day and, talk about how we can make a figure better, but...
We could talk about how, I got DC Multiverse Harley Quinn and she's tall. Red Hood and Nightwing, and Nightwing's got the weird, people are calling it a diaper. There's always going to be something if you want to just sit there and really kind of dive deep into something, you'll find anything. But for the most part, the output is fantastic.
Yeah, without a doubt. All right, I'm going to hear a couple things that I picked up that I have not been able to put them down, actually. I'm having so much fun with them. You mentioned one of them already. You mentioned Red Hood. That Red Hood and Nightwing 2-pack. I got it for Red Hood. That was the figure that I really wanted. But I'm actually, and it is like it's a marvel of a figure. It is a as Paul Hollywood would say, it is a triumph of action figures. It's wonderful.
It's an early nominee too.
The paint on the helmet, it's reflective. I had it in the light box. I was taking pictures, and it's amazing. It poses so easily. The articulation's great. He just kind of has that. He exudes his badassery. It's a wonderful figure. But the Nightwing in that 2-pack is no slouch either. It's a straight repaint of the Build a Batmobile Nightwing that came out early last year. But they improved a couple of things. So they gave his hair some really nice blue detailing to it, which really makes kind of that black hair shimmer and pop. And they also, aside from the red repaint of his costume, they just kind of did the skin tone a little bit better. They did the shading a little bit better. Overall, it is a much better painted figure than the first release. So, kudos to them for taking, a figure that has its flaws and really doing the best they can with it, in terms of a repaint. It's definitely the one that is on display, over the classic blue outfit. Another figure that I got that I was super impressed with, and is actually, I talked about this on our Instagram, but I bought my first modern wrestling figure. I picked up the Top Picks Fiend, Bray Wyatt the Fiend, WWE Elite. I wanted to have a wrestling figure on hand for scale comparison and, for toy photography and everything, because I don't have access to yours when I'm doing reviews and everything. But I have been watching wrestling. I've been getting back into it, and The Fiend is definitely my favorite thing in the WWE at the moment. So it made sense. I wasn't just getting him to get him. I actually do enjoy the character, and I'm really impressed with WWE Elite. It's really my first Mattel figure, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, in a long time. As well, and it's just great. The center of balance on it, it feels nice. The detail, the deco, the articulation. He doesn't have the double jointed elbows, but you can still get him into all of the poses, including the unique way he pins people.
None of the elites do though. So
yeah, which I came to realize. Right, that's the they do the double jointed elbows in the Ultimates, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But overall, fantastic figure. Absolutely love it. Have not been able to put it down. I just keep taking pictures of it. And much like another figure, Meowsles, the Fortnite, Jazzwares Fortnite Legendary Series Meowsles, that if you recall, if you are a longtime listener of the podcast, we had Mike DeCamp from Jazzwares on, who is responsible for the Fortnite figures, and I may have pestered him to try to pull out of him whether or not Meowsles was coming, and he was steadfastly stonewalling me. But lo and behold, just about a year later, I have my 6-inch Legendary Series Meowsles, and he is perfect. One could say, Dave, that he's perfect. I absolutely love this figure. I am starting to get a little bit fatigued with the throwback to the Toy Biz Marvel Legends, like the hinged hands. I'm finding that some of them come with weapons or accessories that they simply can't hold because their hands won't stay closed in order to hold them. What a lot of people are doing online is they're boil and popping the hands off and using spare Marvel Legends hands on them, which scale perfectly with these figures, in order to give them kind of like a permanently closed hand so that way they could grip onto things. Having seen the 4-inch Fortnite figures, they do not have the hinged hands, and they can hold their accessories wonderfully, and they're articulated the same way. So, it makes me wonder how long that's gonna stick around for them. But it is a really great figure, and I absolutely love it. And then the last thing that I wanted to mention, I did pick up more, but I feel like this is like kind of the piece de resistance for this episode for me. I finally got my Super Shredder from NECA. Yeah. I had ordered that back in August. And talk about an experience, man. Much like yours kind of with AEW, where the box was like from NECA, you know, where you had like kind of that Jazzwares case.
I think that's just how Ringside sent
it. The figure was packed immaculately. Like, So it's in a box, and you open the box with a box cutter, and obviously you open carefully because you don't want to cut too deep. But NECA, you thought of that. Underneath the flaps, they actually put a small layer of cardboard, so that way if you do slide the box cutter in too deep, you hit an additional layer of cardboard, like it's just like a loose piece. And then underneath that, the box, the NECA box, which is massive for Super Shredder because he's a hulk of a figure, is in like a molded bubble wrap. So like think like a bubble wrap envelope, but not like a shipping envelope. Like it is a bubble wrap envelope that was then inserted to and sealed inside. So I mean that thing, you could have Ace Ventura punted that thing down the hallway, and it would have been fine. They packed that figure so incredibly well. I'm so impressed. The detail on it is insane. I completely understand why it was topping everybody's lists last year, everybody that had it. It is an insane figure that I can't believe I own, along with those mutagen turtles. It's just like, again, and something I know I have mentioned, but I didn't think in a million years I would have like a modern, super detailed Super Shredder and out of their shells turtles. So yeah, it's been a good toy couple weeks for me.
I got one more thing I can mention. The other day I also got the Marvel Lucha Libre pops.
El Muerte de Chimichanga?
Chimichanga de la Muerte.
Chimichanga de la Muerte. Best name ever.
But yeah, I got the 7 that are out. I've also pre-ordered my collector core box based off of Marvel Lucha Libre. They're cool. It's going to be, you know, kind of really how you feel about the concept or the worlds coming together. They are planning on having more matches in AAA where there will be characters with the Marvel themes or the Marvel license. So yeah, they're cool. I like them. It's a fun thing similar to, well, actually it's a similar, it's fun. That's really what I wanted to get to. I was just trying to think of what I can compare it to, and there really isn't much I can.
I mean, it's a fun crossover.
It's a fun crossover that they're actually doing. So it's not just something that's there. Or here, it's not similar to the, I'll say the holiday stormtroopers in the sense of they're just like holiday stormtroopers. They don't exist. The characters are existing right now in AAA. So it is something that where, yes, they've made these pops for them and this merchandise for it. But with good reason, because they're incorporating it into AAA's, I guess, stories, or they're going to build stories around these characters. So I think that that's awesome. I think it's a lot of fun, and I think it's a great crossover.
Now, that's something that I am today years old. I didn't realize that they were actual wrestling personas in Lucha Libre. That's actually makes them all the more cool. That's cool. Mm-hmm. And you said it's AAA, right? That's the...
Yep.
Very cool. Well, I know I picked up a few more things that I had kind of mentioned. I mentioned that I had picked up the Spider-Verse Marvel Legends. I got some older figures, but I'm going to save those for another conversation, because I'm itching, Dave. I'm itching to play Name That Toy.
All right.
It's time to play Name That Toy!
So
let's catch everybody up, because it's been a while.
Yeah, I was going to say. So, Dave, tell us, how does Name That Toy work?
It's this week you're giving the clues, and I'm guessing. But the person giving the clues has an X number of clues, as many as they want to compile. The person who is guessing, which is me, can guess after each clue. If I get it right, I get a point. If I don't get it right, or if I get stumped, Eric gets a point. And if I get stumped, you, the faithful listener, have a chance to win a prize.
Yep. And I will tell you right now what that prize is. That prize for this episode is a Star Wars Vintage Collection Yavin Ceremony Luke Skywalker. Mint on card. Will be going to you if I can manage to stump Dave here. And the way that we'll do it is...
Should we have mentioned the prize until beforehand? Or until after the fact?
Yeah, why not? Why not? Now you know what... Now people can root against you as they listen to you.
Okay.
Dave, are you ready to play Name That Toy?
I am.
All right, so I have 5 clues for you today.
Only 5.
Dave. Only 5.
I think that's the fewest clues that have existed thus far.
Yeah. I was scraping to get the amount. If you get this, which I don't think you're going to, and I'm not being purposely obtuse here. It was like the clues were either too obvious or far too obscure and difficult, so I tried to pick the middle ground, and with that, I ended up with 5. Okay, you ready?
Huh?
First clue coming at you.
All right.
First, I gotta start the music. These figures were produced by Kenner in 1988 and 1989.
That's the clue. Okay.
That's the first clue. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, that's the first clue.
Okay. I mean.
Sure. I promise you that's not as broad as you think. Because they weren't doing that many lines specifically in 88 and 89. The toy line was made to promote a TV show that lasted only 2 seasons, totaling in 65 episodes.
So a TV show, not a cartoon.
TV show, cartoon. Yeah, it was a cartoon.
It's an animated television show.
Yeah, animated television show that lasted only 2 seasons, totaling in 65 episodes.
All right, I'm just going to guess. I'm going to throw a guess out there. It's probably wrong. Is it Silverhawks?
No, it is not Silverhawks.
Okay.
Though my heart was just temporarily in my throat. So I was not expecting you to guess that early. All right.
Well, I mean, it's not interesting for everybody listening if I just go, okay, let's do the first 2 clues now. Now hit me with some actual information, please.
All right. So none of the notable female, so this is important, none of the notable female characters, or in fact, any of the female characters from the source material, were made it into the toy line. So while you're thinking, I'll reread these. So these figures were produced by Kenner in 1988 and 89. They were made to promote an animated television show that lasted only two seasons, totaling in 65 episodes. None of the notable, or in fact, any of the female characters from the source material ever made it into toy form.
Is it Skeleton Warriors?
It is not Skeleton Warriors. Okay. Now this clue is a very specific clue about the toy. That would give you a sizable hint here, okay? This is your first like real big hint. An accessory packed with a villain from the toy line whose name was Claw would later be reused with the famous Sky Attack Joker from Kenner's Dark Knight collection.
Okay, so now I at least know how big the figures are.
An accessory packed with a villain from the line whose name was Claw would later be reused with the famous Sky Attack Joker from Kenner's Dark Knight collection. And if you could picture Sky Attack Joker, he came with a very, like, really wacky accessory.
All right, go one more.
Okay, and this is your final
clue.
This is your final clue. All right. Consisting of two playsets, a series of roleplay items, two vehicles, and technically three waves of figures. Five additional vehicles and playsets were planned, but never produced until an Argentinian company named Jaska produced one of them later on, called Copper Corner.
I mean, yeah, we'll be here all day, so what is it?
Okay, so I'll bleep it out. Yeah,
I'm tapping.
You're tapping?
I'll give you the point. Holy shit. By the way, that's the first time I've cursed on this show.
Right? Isn't that a good one, though?
Yeah, I had those.
I know you did. And can you picture what the accessory was now that came with the Joker?
Wasn't it like the... Yeah, it was the handles with the helicopter.
Yep. Yeah. All right, Dave. So you didn't get it. So that means we are now flipping this to you. Now, what we're going to do is we'll post it. We'll post the fact that the contest is there. And what we'll do is if you get the answer right, we will put your name into a drawing. And at the end of whatever time we end up putting on this, we will choose somebody who got the answer right, and we'll send you out a really cool Luke Skywalker Vintage Collection figure. So, courtesy of your friends Dave and Eric at Adventures in Collecting. Yeah. So, finally got one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
4-3. Catching up. All right. So, what I wanted to close out with Dave today was an idea that I had been kind of tossing around. Let's let Joe bring us into it.
Wouldn't it be cool if?
So yeah, so wouldn't it be cool if, Dave? We always talk about, you know, the things that we want. You know, we mentioned, you know, in our 2020 wrap up episode with our Christmas episode with our buddy Toy Shiz, we talked about your amazing idea for the Shotzi Blackheart tank build a figure wave. People are always, you know, they're super talented people like at Blainer Things on Instagram, who's always posting these incredible toy renderings that he comes up with, where it's like, what if NECA did more Scream figures, or you know. There's tons of talent out there that's constantly imagining how the toy world can grow. But what I thought would be fun is if we each just kind of pick one and kind of go into what we would love a toy company to put out, you know, whether it's a box set, a wave, a specific figure, So I'm gonna go first because I've been really thinking about this for a long time. One of my favorite things that Marvel Legends has ever done was the San Diego Comic-Con box set for the Defenders that had Colleen Wing, Danny Rand, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Daredevil in it. So you had five figures, right? Well, what if they did one for a Comic-Con? Wouldn't it be cool if for a Comic-Con or, you know, some other kind of limited release, they put out one, Dave, that had six figures? And it was an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. box set that had Agent Coulson, Daisy, May, Mac, Fitz, and Simmons. And gave us our six Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. figures in a cool box. You know, we've gotten Coulson already from an old Toys R Us Avengers, the first Avengers film box set with Coulson, Hill, and Nick. But the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cast, like, it was such a good show. It was on for such a long time. We never got a single figure from that show. And for me, that is like a huge bummer.
Yeah, they only got pops.
Yeah. And didn't they even get a ride with the pops? Didn't they make a fill in the car?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, it was an early ride.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that show was so unique because it was really the first kind of thing where the TV show was, and I don't care what anyone says, that show is part of the MCU. I mean, like, Phil's in the movies and Sif is in the TV show, and, you know, Sam Jackson was in the TV show. So I mean, it's I think honestly, like, it would have been really cool to get a wave of them with like a Build-A-Figure or, you know, one of those like mixed media waves where they have, you know, comic book S.H.I.E.L.D. characters mixed in with them. But ultimately, I think now that the series is done, you know, I think they have to be working on a Ming-Na Wen head sculpt for the Black series anyway, you know, if they don't have her face scan already, because Fennec is not only going to just be in The Mandalorian, but then The Book of Boba Fett, and she's also going to be in the Bad Batch animated series. So I mean, it's to me, it's a no-brainer to get some Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. figures out. You know, make it a limited thing, make it a Hasbro Pulse exclusive, or make it a Comic-Con exclusive. But that would be my ideal. Wouldn't it be cool if?
That's a good one.
What do you have, Dave?
Well, I gave my big one for the tank. I guess for me, what I would probably want the most, I would say, like, if we're going to do DC multiverse movies, like, there's, you know, Stephen Amell Arrow, there's, of course, the two Wonder Woman figures, and then that's really all we've got for movies. Like, I want to see, you know, we were supposed to get the Birds of Prey Harley. That did wound up not happening. But, like, you know, there's such a wealth of characters that have been in movies. And I'm saying, like, go back. Go back to, you know, if you can, Adam West and Burt Ward. If you can, you know, a Michael Keaton Batman. You know, like, you just got that that penguin, that Mattel penguin. Give me like a Danny DeVito penguin, you know, something like along those lines. Just because I feel like that's that, aside from like non-Batman, has been very underrepresented in the figure line. So I guess like a wave of, see, I wouldn't even want a wave. I just want a few of them sprinkled in.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple figures that have not been on shelves in a while that I think would sell really well, but I think ultimately the thing that everybody would love McFarlane to crack the code on would
like
be
Phantasm. Like, do Phantasm.
That would be fantastic. But I was going to say the crack the code on Joker. I mean, there hasn't been a Jack Nicholson Joker due to, you know, likeness, you know, control over his likeness.
Well, there hasn't been a Jack. You're gonna do Heath Ledger, like, do something from a movie.
And I think people would love, as you know, as much as it's kind of a divisive movie, I think people would love a Joaquin Phoenix Joker.
There are people that would want it, sure. But yeah, I mean, like I'm saying, go back further.
Like, what about if they did something where it was like,
you know, Christopher Reeve Superman, something along, yeah.
I that's what I was gonna say. Like, they're starting to get into these kind of like box sets, right, where they have two figures in a pack. Like, what if they did like
Christopher Reeve, Gene Hackman? Like, that would rule.
Well, I mean, that would be awesome. But I was gonna say, what if they did like a Superman Through the Years pack, right? And they had like Christopher Reeve and Brandon Routh and Henry Cavill.
That would be fun.
Or like Keaton and with that new movie coming out, you could do
Pattinson.
Keaton, Pattinson, and Christian Bale. Right? Like, I think those types of things, like those, I don't want to say like set pieces, but those types of collections, they have this kind of commemorative nature to them that I think makes them really hot commodities. I just know at that point you're dealing with like mega star licenses, and you know, people are you know, to their right are protective of their likenesses in a lot of cases. So I know Michael Keaton's that way. The Marvel Legends Vulture figure doesn't have a removable helmet because of likeness control. There hasn't been a Jack Nicholson Joker figure since that Kenner Sky Attack Batman. That's the only like action figure that has actually had somewhat of a Jack Nicholson likeness outside of like Hot Toys and Sideshow Collectibles and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm with you. I would love to see them do more movie stuff. And they proved with the Dune figures that came out recently that they can handle handle celebrity likenesses pretty well.
Even like the Keanu.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the
Cyberpunk.
Yeah, that looks great. It looks like Keanu Reeves. So I mean, yeah, I agree with you.
Or the Wonder Woman figures, or the Stephen Amell, or you know, like they're
mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've
proven it that they can handle it, I think. Speaking of movies, Dave, I'm gonna we had a bunch here. I'm just gonna pick one. To wrap it up with here. So one of our followers, longtime listener at TheBerg511 on Instagram, suggested wouldn't it be cool if NECA made Wes Anderson movie figures? Starting with The Life Aquatic would be the first movie he would want them to start with. And I think that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I think they would absolutely crush it. I think some of them would have to be the 8-inch like clothed figures and not the ultimate ones. Like, I picture like the Life Aquatic figures with the little, you know, red skull caps and everything. But I love that idea. I think NECA is the type of company that pays attention to the kind of more strange and absurd forms of storytelling and characters, and they could definitely handle something like the Wes Anderson films. I mean, they have Golden Girls figures.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be fun. I think they could definitely pull it off.
If you were going to have them start with a Wes Anderson film, what would be the one that you would start with?
Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, that's a good one. I don't know why, but I would like to see Fantastic Mr. Fox figures. And I know that completely goes into like a different category because they're animated, but I think NECA would do well with those too. Frankly,
yeah. I mean, their
Coraline ones were nice.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. But so Sean at the Berg, 511, our buddy all the way from Qatar. Thank you for suggesting that. And thank you for all of your support. So, guys, let us know what you think about this this little category, this little fun bit, and if you want to hear more from it, I mean, we have more suggestions, so we could definitely revisit this at some point, but I think part of the fun of being in kind of the toy community is is kind of the speculation and the brainstorming and stuff. Cause we know if nothing else, we know that, that toy makers follow stuff on social media. They listen to podcasts and YouTubers, and you know, they definitely consider those ideas. So, you know, be vocal about it, and you know, we'll do what we can to help share your ideas. But Sean, thank you for that. That was wonderful. With that, Dave, I think we're going to wrap it up.
Okay.
Make sure you are following us on social media at AIC_podcast. We're on Instagram and Twitter. And if you like what you hear on the podcast, if you like our little show here, do us a huge favor and leave us a rating and review on wherever you listen to podcasts, especially if you're doing it on Apple Podcasts. We read the reviews. We like your feedback, and if you leave us a fun review with a rating, and we'll read it on the show, especially if you include a little, well, tell us what your favorite toy is or what you like to collect, and we'll give you a little shout out.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us today. Subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen, and then tell your friends to do it. Thanks also to Joe Azari, the golden voice behind our intro. Our music is Game Boy Horror by the Zombie Dandies. Find more about them both in our show notes.
Follow us on social media at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Stop by and say hi, show us your toy hauls, and share your toy stories. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Don't try this at home. Void where prohibited and some assembly required. Each sold separately, not a flying toy. Consult a physician if your toy run exceeds more than 4 hours.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.